Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
We as a nation are experiencing an assault on our beliefs, our morality, our very foundation. What used to be called evil is now being called good, and what was called good is now called outdated, discriminatory, bigoted. Of course, this did not just happen overnight or even within the past couple decades. It has been building. We have been that frog in the pot of just perfect water, not realizing the temperature has been slowly rising, oblivious to any danger because everything seemed to have been going just as it always has been going in the past. Yes, television programming did have more profanity, and bedroom scenes went from innuendo to hardly anything left to the imagination. Talk in the streets was more coarse, too, and families seemed to be falling apart more. There were more teenage girls getting pregnant and either aborting their babies or trying to raise them alone in poverty. And when it came to politics, there were scandals galore. We've been told America has always been like this. There was never any good old days, never any Leave It to Beaver world. But I don't believe that's the case. I believe we see the scenarios listed above and much worse because too many Christians who boldly stand on their Christian beliefs have until recently chosen to not be involved in politics or key decision-making positions. America is heading down the path it is today because we've ignored the obligation we as Christian Americans have to take our place in society, in government, in the key roles of our nation. It is very encouraging to see more step forward and say enough is enough. One of those is Chuck McCullough. He's of Allegheny County, actually a lifelong resident of Allegheny County. He's a former Homestead Borough Solicitor and also was Allegheny County Solicitor and until recently was a county councilman at large on the county council, Allegheny County Council. Thanks, Chuck, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, and good morning. Thank you for having me.
I know you've been involved a lot, you know, not just recently, but you are an attorney. And we are very happy that there are Christian attorneys out there, because there's a lot of, you know, ones out there who aren't, but it's encouraging that there are Christian attorneys out there. And I know you take a strong stand on our founding fathers, and you believe what the founding fathers believe. And how has that influenced you in the beginning when you first became involved in the public arena?
Well, you know, Diane, if you go back to the Declaration of Independence that our founding fathers signed, it concludes by seeking reliance, as they put it, on our divine creator, which is obviously Almighty God, to pledge their lives, their honors, and their sacred fortune for their fellow countrymen. And, you know, they've really set a standard for all politicians. When you take your oath of office, you know, you're taking an oath to God that you're going to put your lives, your fortune, and your honor on the line to defend the rights of people. And I think too many politicians have gotten away from that. They really don't understand the significance of taking that oath, making that pledge to God. They've normalized their behavior as a result.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's just become, like you're saying, they don't fully comprehend what they're taking an oath for, or it just has become empty words. They just don't get what they're actually committing themselves to. You know, I listed a whole lot of different scenarios in the intro, but as we see America pretty much on the verge of disintegration, especially when it comes to moral issues. You know, I think that a lot of it has to do with Christians have been, in the past, they've been afraid to step forward. And now, as they are becoming more bold to step forward and saying, you know, enough is enough, they are now being denigrated. They're being told, well, you know, that's old-fashioned and that's just not the way it is today. You know, get with the program. Have you seen that in your positions as solicitor or as in your political positions? Have you seen where Christians have been denigrated and just pounced upon just because of their beliefs?
Absolutely, Diane, and I have to think that I've been one of those people who has been denigrated and pounced upon. And I'll give you a couple of examples. In Allegheny County, believe it or not, we have a gay rights legislation that passed on a divided council. I led the opposition to it. I know you were involved in working against it. A lot of people don't know that it is now a $500 a day fine to refuse to employ homosexuals. It's also a $500 a day fine in Allegheny County to refuse to sell your home to homosexuals. Ironically enough, this was shepherded through Allegheny County Council by a Roman Catholic chief executive and a Roman Catholic council president who both tried to spin this as a pro-growth initiative for Allegheny County. In other words, it will increase population coming into Allegheny County because mm-hmm. we'll be viewed as, quote, tolerant. What you're seeing, Diane, with this kind of behavior is people saying, well, you know, personally I feel this way or my personal beliefs are X, but because we separate church from state, I have to put my beliefs on the shelf. And I totally reject that notion. I don't know how anybody in any walk of life can separate their faith and their belief in God and call themselves a Christian and then go about and promote things that are clearly against their religious teachings and religious doctrine.
Absolutely. And I know our founding fathers definitely did not compartmentalize their lives. I mean, just reading the founding documents from the Declaration of Independence and the fact that the Constitution has a Sunday accepted rule right written right in there, they did not compartmentalize their lives. Their Christian beliefs were definitely part of who they were, and they did not check that at the door. They walked into Independence Hall or into any other meeting place. That was very much part of their being and their lives. David Barton with Wall Builders has also noted that many politicians compartmentalize their lives, as you're describing. You know, they say they believe one thing, but they don't allow that belief to influence their decisions in the public arena. And that's sad because, to begin with, that's a poor Christian witness.
Absolutely.
And that leads the world to believe that Christians can do whatever. I mean, they can call themselves Christian, but then they can do whatever in the world itself. Just a very sad situation for the church.
Well, you know,
as
Diane, as Ronald Reagan once said, if we forget that we're one nation under God, we'll soon become one nation plowed under. Mm. And that's really what's happening.
Absolutely.
Too many people are putting their religious beliefs on the shelf, saving them for Saturday at synagogue or Sunday at church, mm-hmm. putting them back on the shelves the rest of the week and saying, well, that really doesn't have any play here in the business world or here, and more significantly, in the political world. And I really think, Diane, that's one reason why we have such tremendous acrimony in public discourse now in politics. People are not acting in a Christian manner, frankly, often on both sides of the aisle. They forget that we are one nation under God. And it's like, well, anything goes in the political arena. The Ten Commandments don't have any hold here. It's survival of the political fittest. And that is not what our founding fathers intended. You're absolutely correct. You go through the history, even in framing the Constitution. You know, there was at one point where they took a recess, and then Benjamin Franklin actually organized it, and they went into 3 days of prayer before they came back and finished their work. And clearly the Constitution was a document that was inspired by God.
Absolutely. It's interesting, though, that as we see children in school who are being taught a different version of American history, they're being just taught that our founding fathers were secular, that they were deist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a deist, is their concept is that God created the world, yes, but he just wound it up like a clock and then set it down and then went off somewhere to do his own thing. A deist does not believe God is involved in the day-to-day life of an individual. But as you're saying, Benjamin Franklin, just his wanting to go into prayer definitely showed that he believed God was involved in the day-to-day affairs of men. You know, but our children are being taught differently in the public school system, to where we have a generation, a couple generations now probably, who've grown up believing that there is a separation of church and state, believing that our founding fathers were not Christian, and that our founding fathers would not want our beliefs or their beliefs to be part of who they are. So we have, you know, we have that to combat. We have the children believing that our founding fathers were deists, that they did not believe in a God who was involved. I think we see that as these children get older and get to the point where they not only vote, but they run for office. They have that concept.
They have that concept, Diane, and it's reinforced as they go through their education. I know in law school, it was constantly pounded into our heads, and that was going back better than 30 years ago. And I'll give you an example. One of the cases I was involved in as county solicitor was over the Ten Commandments. There is a Ten Commandments plaque on the Allegheny County Courthouse on the exterior.
And
the ACLU, of course, wanted to have the plaque taken down. We ultimately prevailed, but, you know, the arguments that you have to use is that it's of a historical significance,
right,
is really a very convoluted and it's an unfortunate argument we have to make these days. And what you've seen is these secularists have not only debased the First Amendment, but they've trivialized it, and they've turned it into freedom to practice your religion to a prohibition against the free practice of religion and trying to isolate it from the mainstream economy. And, of course, in substitution for God, what we're getting now is Big Brother government. People no longer look to God for direction and inspiration and salvation and protection from the travails of daily life. They expect Big Brother government to come in and make everything right for them.
Oh, that's a perfect point, because people more and more look to government for help, for, like you're even saying, their salvation, for the very essence of life. And because of that, I mean, government just feeds off of that.
Right.
And that's caused government to become bigger and bigger, because people become more and more dependent upon government and look into government to solve all their problems. And government doesn't solve problems, by and large. In their attempts to solve problems, in many cases, they, you know, make more problems. The example you gave with that ordinance that was passed in July of 2009, the powers to be said, well, we need this ordinance because it will cause more people to flow into Allegheny County. Where we've seen other counties and other municipalities pass these same type ordinances, that has not happened.
And of course, Diane, in Allegheny County, nothing's happened. And in fact, our population is down from the last sentence. And really what it was part of a political agenda of our county executive to shift himself to the left in an attempt to win the Democratic primary, where he felt he had to appeal to the more leftist Democratic party in the Philadelphia area. Yeah. You know, and I think there's actually a lesson to be learned from that individual. Here was a fellow who ran for county executive 8 years ago and championed himself as not only a fiscal conservative Democrat, but a Bob Casey social conservative Democrat as well. Won in a landslide over a liberal pro-choice sitting Republican county executive, yet he tacks left trying to run for governor, contrary to his own religious beliefs, contrary to what he said he stood for years, and he wound up losing statewide office. I wonder if he's thinking about now, if he would have stayed true to his faith and his values, if he would have had a different outcome. I have to think maybe he would have.
Yeah, for sure. And that's just one example. You see other examples of the same type of situation where they run on a certain platform, a conservative platform, pro-life, pro-family platform, but then when it comes to seeking higher office, they shift in an attempt to garner more votes from a particular segment of the voter population. And it's sad, because for that to happen, they've renounced their beliefs, their beliefs. They've tried to, again, compartmentalize their beliefs in God and their political life.
Classic example of that. Several weeks ago, the four candidates for county executive, two Republicans, including myself, and two Democrats, were before a candidates forum sponsored by Executive Women. And the question arose, would we support the County Human Relations Commission recommendation that taxpayer dollars be used to provide same-sex partner health care benefits for county employees? All right? Again, this is not growth of that very legislation, that very Human Relations Commission that both you and I fought. And it shows you how invasive something like that is, how it opens Pandora's box. Three of us are Roman Catholics. One Democrat said he was absolutely for the notion of same-sex benefits. The other Democrat said that he would go along with whatever the chief executive decided. Pretty much a Pontius Pilate routine.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, my opponent, who is trying to posture himself as a conservative, pro-family Republican, said he didn't know enough about the issue to make a decision. He would have to research.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, clearly pandering to the audience there. And it's that kind of stuff. And, of course, my response was very clear-cut, I should say. I am fundamentally opposed to it, not only is the use of taxpayer dollars, I'm opposed to the concept. And I don't see why people are afraid to espouse their faith. I look at it as very liberating. If you're trying to follow God's teachings, that applies in no matter what setting you're in, and it's frankly liberating to say, well, I believe in this. I believe this is what my God tells us or has instructed us, and I'm going to follow those beliefs. And then you're not subject to that kind of political pandering. You're not subject to that kind of political pressure. And I frankly think people in the long run, even if they don't agree with you, they respect it and they respect the candor.
Yeah, I agree, because Americans are getting tired of hearing politicians say one thing and do another, run on one platform, and then turn around once they're elected, you know, completely like do a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type scenario is created when they run on one platform and then do something opposite when they're actually elected. Americans want to hear people be true to their beliefs. Americans want to hear conservative notions. I mean, by and large, Americans are fed up with this liberalized propaganda. I mean, I'm thinking of Sarah Palin and those who the media demonizes, but she's not afraid to speak about her beliefs.
Absolutely. You know, I take a look at Sarah Palin, And, of course, I'm old enough to remember when Ronald Reagan gave his famous speech for Barry Goldwater and then became governor of California. He was demonized well into running for president the first time as same kind of behavior that they described to Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loose cannon, way out there, cannot be trusted with a finger on the button, all that kind of stuff to scare people. And it really was grounded in an attack on what he stood for, strong Christian values, strong family values, and, of course, self-reliance and standing up to the world threat of communism. I have to tell you, I've met Sarah Palin when she was on the campaign trail in 2008. I actually had a chance to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
I exchanged some of the issues that I was dealing with in Allegheny County, the kind of political attack a Christian conservative undergoes, and I told her to just frankly blow by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is our moral compass, and if you can stay true to him, you really don't worry who's against you. You don't think about how big your opposition is. You think about how big your God is.
Absolutely, because he's definitely bigger than any opposition out there.
That's right.
Thinking of the David and Goliath, you know, that whole picture right there.
Absolutely, and I know she understands that.
Yeah.
And I think she's showing just the way she's been able to frankly dominate political discourse in this country now, and she's really dominating it.
Yeah.
God is touching her walk. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Now, you were a solicitor in Homestead, what, in the 80s?
That's correct, Diane. It was a very interesting experience because Homestead used to be the steel capital of the world. That's where U.S. Steel had its biggest plants. And in the middle of the 80s, the steel industry collapsed in western Pennsylvania. So we went from a community that was a hardworking, middle-class community to a community that had a tremendous rate of unemployment, had high rates of divorce and depression. You know, those kind of things mm-hmm. follow when people lose their job. And the borough itself bordered on collapse. And I like to think these also are people of strong faith. And I believe that their faith and their reliance on God and their ability to say, we're not going to succumb to this, we're not going to cave into this, help sustain that community.
Mm-hmm.
The community adjusted, it adapted, it improvised. We cut our budget back without laying people off. We instituted an early retirement program so people would retire with dignity and not be furloughed. We privatized certain operations. We made it a point of principle that we weren't going to go bankrupt and we were going to keep government alive for those people. And I learned an awful lot through that, Diane, and I also learned what it meant to serve. Government officials are supposed to represent the people,
right.
Not corporations, not special interests. And if you do what's right by the people, you're really doing God's work. And that's really what it means about the oath of office, when you're going to defend people's rights and stick up for them.
Yeah, yeah. That was an example of people of faith. You're saying that the other members of the borough council were people, a large percentage
yes,
of
they
people
were.
Of faith.
You know, there's probably more churches per capita in Homestead than any other part of Allegheny County.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were the old ethnic churches. These people had strong faith. A lot of them were old enough to remember the Depression. Some of them had served during World War II,
mm-hmm.
and their faith sustained them in those tough times, and they bore down. And, you know, that community is not only on the road back, it is back. You know, obviously, we don't have the steel industry out there, but it really is, in my mind, a shining example of what local officials can do if they stay true to their faith and true to their responsibilities and try to solve their problems on their own.
Mm-hmm. Now, comparing that in the 80s in Homestead,
right.
Let's fast forward to 2009 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In the example that you gave with the Allegheny County Council when they were looking at that homosexual special rights ordinance,
right.
And the example you gave with higher ups, shall we say, in the council,
mm-hmm.
and the county executive who are pushing for, even though they say they're Roman Catholic, they were still pushing for that,
right.
that ordinance. Again, compartmentalizing, and I think that it's become worse, the compartmentalizing of a life, you know, where, you know, you're one person at home and you're another person on the job or in your political office.
Absolutely. You know, you see this time and time again. Abortion is another issue.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one of my Democratic opponents is Catholic, but an unabashed pro-choice advocate. The other, by the way, says he's pro-life, but believes in restrictions on pro-life, whatever that means.
Mm.
I don't know how you do those sorts.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think that kind of political pandering can really be rational. I don't know how you reconcile that to your personal life. I mean, you don't throw on a switch and say, when I step out of the house, I go from being somebody that believes in God to now I'm a bureaucrat in a godless political regime.
Who believes in the government.
And believes in the government, because then at that point, then government becomes an end in of itself.
True.
With no moral compass.
The government,
whatever is politically expedient at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, the government becomes their God.
Exactly.
And they're serving that God in that setting.
And you really do see that, because what you see is this constant encroachment. And what I'm concerned, even at the county level, and this is one of the reasons why I'm running, is the county used to be a very simple, straightforward provider of essential government services.
Mm-hmm.
Really a pass-through from the state, and as an intermediary government between local communities and the state government to basically make the state more responsive to local needs. Now what it's being warped into is a mini federal government that's going to get into social engineering. And not only is there a societal cost with that, Diane, but there's also a taxpayer cost. Taxpayer money shouldn't be wasting that kind of nonsense.
Right.
These issues should be debated in the General Assembly or in the halls of Congress, not a county council and with a county executive.
Just curious, do you think that the passing of the Home Rule Charter, did that have anything to do with that?
Oh, I think it absolutely did.
Okay.
I think some passed the Home Rule Charter with the idea that it was going to break the Democratic stranglehold on local government in Allegheny County. But I think there was a whole other group of people that looked at this, because Home Rule gives more power to the people as an opportunity to get into social engineering in an expanded form of local government. And really, that's the last thing we need, especially now with the tough economic times we're going through, where people's money is so precious to them and tax dollars are being tossed around in a wasteful manner everywhere, is to expand local government. And the Human Relations Commission is a primary example.
Yeah.
We have a Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission.
Yeah.
We have a City of Pittsburgh Human Relations Commission. Why do we need a Human Relations Commission that really is out there to impose a homosexual agenda on the suburbs of Allegheny County?
Yeah.
Absolutely no reason.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of government encroachment. So what would your counsel be to a Christian who may be considering public office or may be considering even becoming an attorney? What would your counsel be for someone like that?
Well, first of all, if you're going to become an attorney, you're going to expect to hear a constant drumbeat of secular propaganda interwoven in the name of legal precedent in various Supreme Court cases. You need to stay true to your faith, and you need to be willing to challenge that. Remember, these case laws that the Supreme Court decides are usually not statutes. These are a collection of nine people trying to get together and using whatever tools of interpretation they have. And I'm not one that believes the Constitution is a living document. I believe it means what it says.
Mm-hmm.
But they do their own form of legislation in many attempts. And you have to understand that. These are not almighties come down from on high to make pronouncements of right and wrong. They're individuals. They're human beings like everybody else. They have their own agenda, their own view of the world, and they should be challenged. And you need to stay true to your values. Otherwise, you'll morph into this same kind of secular behavior that all too many do. In the government arena, and there's actually, in the Roman Catholic version of the Bible, Diane, a reference in the book of Sirach. And if I can, I'd like to read it, because I think it says everything about public service.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "My son, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. Be sincere of heart and steadfast, undisturbed in times of adversity. Cling to him, forsake him not. Thus will your future be great." I think that's a good notion for everybody to keep in mind. Public service, if you're true to God, is serving God, just like it is in every walk of life.
Yeah.
You're going to be put to the test. Your faith is going to be challenged. But if you're true to your faith will sustain you, and you will ultimately prevail. And those are words that I try to carry with me every day as I run for county executive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your boldness and being afraid to let people know you're Christian and where you stand on the issues, and I really appreciate that. We definitely need more in the political arena who are willing to do that, and more in the courtroom who are willing to do that, too. So I really appreciate that, John.
And Diane, I want to thank you. You know, it looked like that was going to be a 10-5, 11-4 vote on council when that Human Relations Commission bill came through. And your hard efforts and the hard efforts of other dedicated Christians resulted in that being passed by the narrowest of majorities. The example that you all set, the commitment you made to that, will help me accomplish that with the county council.
I appreciate that, Chuck. Hey, you take care.
Thank you, Diane. Good talking to you.
Hey, good talking to you, too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.